Bhaktaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai, Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Is this on? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text 19. Chaturho Karma Sudam Prajanam Viksha Vaidikam Vyadadat Yajna Santatyas. Yajna Santantyai Vedam Ekam Chaturvidam Chaturhotram Karma Shudham Prajanam Vikshavaidikam Vyadadat Yajna Santantyai Vedam ekam chaturvidam chaturhotram karma shudham prajanam vikshavaidikam vyadadat yajna santantyai Vedam ekam chaturvidam Chaturhotram Karma Shudham Prajanam Vikshavaidikam Vyadadat Yajna Santatyai Vedam Ekam Chaturvidam Chaturhotram Karma Shudham Pranam Viksha Vaidikam. Vedam Ekam Chaturvidam. Chaturhotram Karma Shudham. Pranam Viksha Vaidikam. Dat Hagasantatyai Vedamekam Chaturvidam Vidam Avishavainikam Chai Shudham Prajanam Vikshavaidikam
Sankatyai Vedamekam Chaturvidam Vanam Yamasudam Prajanam Vikshavaidikam Sankatyai Vedamekam Chaturvidam. Vaishnavis. Okay. Chatur. Four. Hotram. Sacrificial fires. Karmashudham. Purification of work. Prajanam. Of the people in general. Viksha. After seeing. Vaidikam, according to Vedic rites. Vyadada, made into. Yajna, sacrifice. Santatyai, to expand. Vedamekam, only one Veda. Chaturvidham, in four divisions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men. Purport. Formerly, there was only the Veda of the name Yajur, and the four divisions of sacrifice were there specifically mentioned. But to make them more easily performable, the Veda was divided into four divisions of sacrifice, just to purify the occupational service of the four orders. Above the four Vedas, namely Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Artava, there are the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Samhitas, etc., which are known as the fifth Veda. Sri Vyasadeva and his many disciples were all historical personalities, and they were very kind and sympathetic with the fallen souls of the age of Kali. As such, the Puranas and Mahabharata were made from related historical facts, which explained the teachings of the four Vedas. There is no point in doubting the authority of the Puranas and Mahabharata as parts and parcels of the Vedas. In the Chandogya Upanishad 714, the Puranas and Mahabharata, generally known as histories, are mentioned as the fifth Veda. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is the way of ascertaining the respective values of the revealed scriptures. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Srila Vyasadeva and his followers in disciplic succession are very merciful to the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga. It's a very dangerous situation, Kalair Dosha Nadi Rajan. It's an ocean of faults. Very dangerous. as we can see. I mean, locally, it's very much in the news about the wildfires, the forest fires that are going on in Southern California. And they're just a reminder of something that we sing every morning, Samsara Dhavanala Lila Loka. This material world is like it's like a forest fire blazing. And there's no way out other than the mercy, you know, the causeless mercy of the spiritual master who follows in the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva. So we sing that every morning. And I was seeing on news report, you know, they were having an interview with one of the fire captains, fire department captains, and they were asking him, are you going to be able to stop these fires? He was saying, no. Could go on to Christmas. Because the only thing that will really stop it is when the rains come. So we're all individually in a position like that. You know, we're in the fire of material existence, and we're thinking at a certain point we're going to handle it with our little fire hose or our water bucket. We'll be able to save ourselves and those dear to us and our possessions. But we all come to a stage, all of us who have approached Lord Krishna for shelter, we come to a stage where we understand we can't do it all by ourselves. Like Arjuna, he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was a very qualified person, a noble Kshatriya, very powerful, skilled in the arts of warfare and diplomacy. But he had reached a position where he had to say, Aham Tvam Prapanam, I'm surrendering now to you, to Lord Krishna. Please instruct me, kindly instruct me. And in the end of the Bhagavad Gita says, in answer to Krishna's question, he says, yes, now I'm prepared to follow your instructions. So, Srila Vyasadeva is very merciful to the fallen souls of Kali Yuga in producing this Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the four Vedas are mentioned, the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, and the Atharva Veda. But we see, you know, we're not having class every morning in the Rig Veda or the Atharva Veda or the Sama Veda or the Yajur Veda. And why is that? Of course, sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada does quote, you know, one of the verses from the Rig Veda, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyante Suryaha, that the supreme abode is the Lord, is the abode of Lord Vishnu, and the demigods are always looking that way because they recognize the superiority of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna over everything. So that's there. But mostly. We're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Purana, one of the Puranas. And we're studying Bhagavad Gita, which is part of the Mahabharata, one of the Itihasas. So, why is that? In the verse, this concept of Vaidiki is mentioned, you know, Vedic, you know, the strictly Vedic process of performance of yajna, and one has to be initiated in order to perform those yajnas. One has to have studied the Vedas under a bona fide spiritual master. But that system called Vaidiki Vidhi was very strict. And in that Vaidiki system, initiation was only offered to the Dvijas, or the twice born, those who were born proper Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas even. There had to be performance of Garbhadhan Samskara, and there were families in which those sacrificial performances, that performance of Garbhadhan Samskara and the other Samskaras, were carried out very strictly. So there were lines or gotras of properly qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas who could be offered such initiations and be engaged in those ritualistic performances of yajna. But in the current age, Srila Prabhupada says, Kalau Sudra Sambhava, in the age of Kali, everyone is born a sudra, and nobody is really eligible for the strict Vaidika system of initiation and yajna and study of the Vedas. So, in the Kali Yuga, there's another system. It's called the Pancharatriki Vidhi, which is based on the Narada Pancharatra and other shastras of that nature. And there is allowance for the initiation of those born as sudras, women. Women were also not initiated in that Vaidiki system. So our modern Krishna consciousness movement is established on the base of Pancharatriki Vidhi. You know, it's a system of initiation by which tad diksha vidanena, by the process of initiation according to the Pancharatriki system, a person, even of lower birth, can be elevated to the position of Brahmana. And that system was established. And then it's also based on recognizing a person not by their birth or family qualification, but by their qualities that they display. Yasya lao lakshanam proktam pumsa varnya bivanjakam. Narada Muni explains in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a person should be assigned to a varna, or an occupational division, on the basis of their qualities. yasya la lakshanam. Lakshanam means their qualities. So that's how a person should be judged. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Chaturvarnya maya shushtam guna karma vibhagashaha. I've established this system of occupational orders. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, based on guna, quality, and karma, the practical work or activities that we see a person performing. So, under that system, there's a different set of activities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada many times explained that our modern Krishna consciousness movement moves on two tracks. One of them is the Pantratriki system of initiation, which allows us to perform deity worship and sacrifices and connect with the disciplic succession through that system of diksha or initiation. But also, in addition to the Pantratriki Vidhi, there's Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the activities directly connected with Krishna consciousness. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam, hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then remembering those activities, serving, making a friendly attitude towards the Lord, ultimately surrendering everything. And as part of that Bhagavat Vidhi, we study the Bhagavat Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, we read some chapters ago, Nigama Kalpa Taror Taram Galitam Palam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature. It's also called in the Srimad Bhagavatam Veda Samhitam. The essence of the four Vedas is to be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse that states that, you know, one who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam gets the same kind of nectar that one gets from study of the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, and so on. So by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are getting whatever the essential knowledge that's there in the four Vedas. So, you know, that's why we're studying each morning, instead of the Rig Veda, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the evening the Bhagavad Gita. And although, according to one understanding, these things are called smriti, in the Vedic literature, there's a division between shruti and smriti. Shruti means that which is directly heard. And normally, you know, scholars understand it to mean the four Vedas, the Upanishads. And then things that are based on that, like the Puranas and the Mahabharata, they're considered smriti, that which is remembered or recalled or recollected. But Srila Prabhupada makes a point here in his purport that according to one of the Shrutis, the Chandogya Upanishad, the Itihasas and the Puranas are considered to be the fifth Veda, so on the same level. You know, I looked up that verse from the Chandogya Upanishad, and it first lists, you know, the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yajur Veda. The fourth says, it says, is the Atharva Veda. It says the fifth is Itihasa Purana. Itihasa Puranam Panchamam, just as Srila Prabhupada is stating here. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is part of the fifth Veda. I think, you know, the verse that's going to be read to tomorrow directly states that. It doesn't have a purport, but the verse is, tomorrow we'll be starting out with the four divisions of the original sources of knowledge. The Vedas were made separately, but the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda. So anyways, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that originally there was one Veda, and then it was divided by Vyasadeva into four Vedas. And in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse that says it was like, you know, you have a bag of mixed jewels, you know, four kinds of jewels all mixed together, and then Vyasadeva kind of separated them into four different piles, and in that way put together these four Vedas. And along with them came, you know, different ritualistic sacrifices. But in every age, you know, a different process is recommended. Kriteya Dhyayatam Vishnum Tretayam Yajatam Makai Twaparar Paracharyayam Kalautad Hari Kirtanat. That in the Satya Yuga, the recommended process is meditation on the Supreme Lord. In the Treta Yuga, sacrifices are recommended, highly elaborate sacrifices. In the Dwapara Yuga, the worship of the deity, the opulent worship of the deity is mentioned. But Kalautad Hari Kirtanat, in the age of Kali, our main process is the glorification of the Supreme Lord by the chanting of his holy names and the chanting and distribution of literature containing his names and pastimes. Harinama, 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 Vikevalam, Kalona, Stavana, Stavana, Stava, Gatir, Anyata. That in the age of Kali, the Brihannaradiya Purana says, the only process for deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It says it three times for emphasis. So, therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, yeah, we're proceeding on the two tracks of Panchatriki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. Panchatriki Vidhi involves worship of the deity, and we perform fire sacrifices and things like that. That still goes on. But our main process, or our equally important process, an essential process, is Bhagavat Vidhi. And in line with that, yeah, we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and getting the essence of the four Vedas by doing so. So I'm going to stop a little bit early because we're going to have some remembrances of a departed Vaishnava. So, Savas Prabhu, do you need...
Hare Krishna. So today, thank you, we are remembering Ram Das Prabhu, who was a very nice devotee here in New Dwarka for many years. I think for maybe almost 15 years, I think he was the head pujari here in New Dwarka. And we try to remember him on this particular day, it's the day that he left this world. And just a few things we want to mention about him. Ram Das was a very nice devotee. He was a big statured individual, very big and powerful. And very nice demeanor, very gentle person. Although he was quite large, he was very gentle with the devotees, very accommodating to a lot of devotees. Had a lot of faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. He came to Krishna consciousness. He got a book or a card from a devotee here in L.A. I think it might have been Karuna Darini Devidasi. I believe she gave him a card and a book downtown and invited him to come to New Dwarka Temple here. And he did walk all the way here from downtown. Yeah, he was kind of like passing through and he was searching for spiritual life, for spiritual enlightenment, and met the devotees, well, met Karuna Darini Devidasi, and that changed his life. So I'll speak something about that. It says here, to understand how Ram Das could have the kind of conviction to be able to do Krishna, be Krishna conscious, we have to look at his life in Krishna consciousness. Ram Das was a very steady, determined servant of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Gorni Tai, Jagannath Baladev, and Subhadra. Additionally, he was a devoted servant of the servants of the deities. He was always available, always on call for whatever service needed to be performed. He was not much disturbed if a devotee said they could perform Artik and then didn't show up. He would just cover for them. He was very fixed on keeping the exact high standard of service that Srila Prabhupada instituted. He was very devoted to Srila Prabhupada. That's a very important aspect. He did set a very nice standard here in New Dwarka, and we've been trying to keep this going here for all these years. Ram Das was born in Philadelphia. He spent 20 years of his life there in Philadelphia, and then he moved to New York City, hitchhiked across the country, and just a few bucks in his pocket, looking for spiritual life. He arrived in California in 1980. He spent a night in the homeless shelter downtown. The next day, the devotees came chanting, and Karuna Darini gave him a book and a card. He was attracted to the devotees, and they gave him a Back to Godhead magazine. The next day, he had no bus fare, so the next day, on foot, he came to the temple. He walked the 10 miles, and it took him about 4 hours to get to the temple. And then it says that a devotee named Nitai met him here and gave him some mahaprasadam. So he was invited into the office, and they spoke to him. And they asked him, "Do you like what you see here?" And Ram Das said, "Yes, it's wonderful here." And they invited him to stay for 3 days. And when they did that, Ram Das broke down and cried, but never left. So it kind of told you the nature, the stature of Ram Das. Very, very sincere individual. When he first came, he had a very good personality, so the devotees utilized him immediately to be part of the communications program, talking to the public. And he did that to help the Sankirtan team. He would go out different little townships and try to get permits for the devotees so they could go out and distribute books and do Harinam. So he was actually very good at that. He became very expert, actually. And he opened up a lot of Sankirtan spots for a lot of devotees here in the temple. And after becoming very good at that, and he thought he was going to be there for a while, he did dress Gaurantai deities once a week. So one day when he was dressing the deities, he came off the altar. And so the temple president at that time, who was Vatsal Prabhu, glorified him. He was thinking, wow, you really do the deities very nicely. He said, you'd make a really great head pujari. And then he left, and no more than a few minutes later, he came back and told Ram Das, you're going to be the next head pujari. So that's how he got that position. After addressing the Gaurantai deities once a week, being glorified by the temple president, and then the next minute he's the head pujari, which he accepted very humbly. So he was very, very open-minded, very humble and very surrendered. Although that was a very challenging service in those days. There was a lot of devotees that were doing that pujari work, and most of the devotees were senior to him, of course, a lot of Prabhupada disciples. So it was very challenging to instruct. Basically, he just became a servant and just did whatever he could do to keep the program going on. And he did a very wonderful job at that. There was a story that I received from his wife, Krishna Kumari. It kind of reiterates this particular background of Ram Das being a very good communicator. And there's a nice story here about how he helped in organizing the parade for Rath Yatra. He would have to go to little meetings, I guess, like the JCs, you know, JCs, and the Rotary Club. He'd have to go to those individual places in order to get their permissions so that we could have our Rath Yatra festival, and other city officials also. But there's an encounter that he had at a JC or a Rotary Club event, where he had to come there, and he gave a description of the parade, and he, you know, most of the people that he was speaking to were quite elderly, pretty much old people. And he continued this glorifying Rath Yatra, explaining Rath Yatra, and it seemed like they all were really into it. And he began to give a description of the Rath Yatra carts and how they worked. And after a few questions, the councilmen and ladies looked around at each other, and they were ready to give approval. But then one old elderly gent, he became a little bit upset because he said that he had an encounter with a devotee, and it wasn't a very good encounter. So he proposed that the festival be denied. And then the entire room turned their heads towards Ram Das to see what he would reply, because this person was complaining that someone approached him and started telling him about Krishna consciousness, and he didn't like it. And so the room turned and looked at Ram Das, and Ram Das said, "Sir, I'm very sorry that you had a bad experience, but not all Hare Krishna people are impolite. If one police officer commits a violent or impolite act, does that mean all police officers are bad?" And then it says, all the faces then flashed back to the man who had the accusation. The gentleman now stood humble. "I guess you've got me there." The man said sheepishly, I thought it was pretty funny because we can just imagine what the crowd was, what the audience was, that he could be defeated so quickly. But it just kind of shows how Ram Dass Prabhu was very tolerant and very patient, but very enthusiastic to help in the process of Krishna consciousness, the parade, the permits, and things of that nature. And that's why he made a very good head pujari, because he is capable of dealing with all kinds of individuals, as we just see with the older gent and younger people. So he had a good range of ability to communicate, which is very important. And it showed, because he had a very good standard in the deities. And we've said so many times, after doing this for so many years, we've said the same thing every year, but Ram Dass was pretty good. He was like a real good representative, because he would give prasadam out to everybody. We've spoken about this many times. He used to have a big, huge bag with him, and in that bag he used to carry a lot of prasadam, samosas. And whenever you were talking with Ram Dass, you were always thinking, am I going to get a samosa, or am I going to get a big old huge piece of burfi? Because he usually did. And if you didn't get anything, it's kind of disappointing, because you really did want something from Ram Dass. He was so kind, so good. And most of the time you did get it. So he was that kind of individual. He was really like a Santa Claus, really, because he'd always have a gift for you. And whenever he did talk to you, he was always very encouraging. I do know that he was, I had many conversations with him. And in the course of those conversations, he'd always say that, same thing, he'd always say, are you all right? Everything okay? What can I do for you? And that was his nature. What can I do for you? Are you okay? You want some prasadam? It was real accommodating. Really put you at ease when you discuss things with him. So he was always like that. And his hands were huge. I have a little hand. Whenever I'd shake his hand, whenever I'd see him, I'd shake his hand, my hand became invisible. He has huge, huge hands. I know that one time I met Muhammad Ali in the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I stopped him, I shook his hand. And every time I remember that, I remember Ram Dass, because Muhammad Ali, he had hands that were like this. They were just huge. And when I shook his hand, I was invisible, covered over. So Ram Dass was the same way, huge hands. And jolly, very jolly. So these are just little things about Ram Dass which are very impressive. And I'm sure that anyone that knew Ram Dass, they had some kind of remembrance of him in some particular way like that. Big body, huge hands, good demeanor, very accommodating, very gentle, happy. Even when he was sick, he wouldn't complain. And that also exemplified his last years on this planet in Vrindavan. Ram Dass spent the last 3 years in Vrindavan, and during that time he mostly read and chanted and listened to lectures. He did some deity worship in his ashram. He had some little deities. He had Papa's feet that he would do aarti to every day. He did not engage in idle gossip. I remember when I went there to visit him in Vrindavan, even though he was quite ill, he knew I was coming, Tadit and I. It was really amazing because he actually cooked a nice lunch for us. Even though he was very ill, he cooked some really nice sabji. And whenever Ram Dass would cook some kind of sabji, it was quite opulent. So yes, there was really a lot of curd in it. It was a curd sabji. And it was really good. And hot chapatis with ghee on them. It was really fantastic. I was very impressed by the fact that he was physically not doing good. And physically he was drained, you could tell. But he still made a concerted effort to do this, which I was really impressed by, just to show his friendship. And it was pretty amazing. If you talked to him about anything, he would always relate whatever you said to Krishna and Prabhupada. He became very attached to Srila Prabhupada, and he had many copies of a drawing of Prabhupada's lotus feet, laminated or framed, to distribute to the devotees and to worship. In his room in Vrindavan, he also kept many beautiful pictures of Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish, whom he had lovingly served without hesitation for so many years. And that is true. I recall going there, and there were pictures everywhere, Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish and Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Kumari did a wonderful, varied, and devoted service to him by taking care of Ram Das during those last days. She took care of his body, making sure he was always clean cloth and special diet and medicines. And Ram Das was not at all agreeable to taking Western medicine that was prescribed to him. A nice thing about Ram Das too, which I recall, was that he, just like most of us at that time, we realized that to die in Vrindavan was a very auspicious thing to do. And before going to Vrindavan, we gave Ram Das a room across the street here in one of the four front rooms. We gave him a room there because he was getting sick. He had a heart problem. I think the valves in the heart weren't working properly. I can't remember exactly, or they're collapsing, things like that. So it was one of those degenerative kind of illnesses, and it was only a matter of time before he would die. So here we put him up here for about a year, and then we paid for his way to go to Vrindavan because he wanted to go there, because Srila Prabhupada left the planet there, and he knew that it was very auspicious to go to Vrindavan and leave this world. And that was pretty amazing. It's very difficult to accept that you're going to pass away from this world. It's very difficult to accept that you're going to die, that you only have a limited time. It's not an easy thing to deal with psychologically. And it's very challenging to know that you're going down that long road to Krishna Balaram Temple and that you'll never go back out. This is it. This is the end of the road. So I really thought that was really incredible for him to make that decision. And he had no idea when he would die, but he did last year for 3 years. Can you imagine? And when he left here, he had no idea. But when he got there, he stayed around and he stayed for 3 years. But he didn't leave. There's many stories that I've heard of many devotees going to Vrindavan and not being able to stay there to pass away from the material world. They freak out. They actually, there was one devotee I recall that was a very older devotee, very well-known devotee. He went to Vrindavan to pass away, and at one particular point, he got so freaked out that he got up and he started running down Srila Prabhupada Lane, the road. He was running away. He was going to run to Delhi. And the devotees actually went out there and ran him down and grabbed him and brought him back to the temple. And no more than about 2 weeks later, he died at the temple there in Vrindavan. So that's just an example of how hard it is to accept this point of leaving this world. Very difficult, very challenging. So Ram Das took it, stayed there for 3 years, waiting to leave this planet. You could have thought, well, let me go to Delhi. Or let me go to, you know, whatever, Bali. The weather's better there or something. It's very challenging weather. Hot, cold. So, a lot of challenges. The doctor said he should not necessarily use up his energy getting out of bed in order to circumambulate a Govardhan Shila and to read, but Ram Das said, save energy for what? I can't do anything else. So anyway, he would get up and circumambulate the Govardhan Shila so that he could circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And Krishna Kumari says, I remember at one point I started to panic And he could see that, so he decided, as usual, to tell me to leave the room. He wanted to be alone. He was very alert and conscious. I left, but I came back in, and I said, Ram Dass, Prabhupada is here, and everything is all right. He had the laminated picture of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet upon his heart. And then he said, Krishna, Krishna. And he turned to a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and he left chanting Prabhupada's name. So these are just some things about Ram Dass. If anybody else would like to say a few words. Yes, Omkar Dasi. Yeah. Yeah. He was actually he was a good cook himself. So yes, he knew about cooking, and he did have, you know, really good taste buds, because he really cooked things very, very wonderfully for Krishna. And I agree. Whenever he got involved in that particular activity, it was always very beautiful. Did a very wonderful job. Yes. Yes. He made it out of cream. That's why it was so good. Huge. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He used to tell me that it was also like a weapon. He used it as a weapon, just in case. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. He was very acknowledging like that to individuals. You're right, 100%. He did that a lot. And yes, I remember on many occasions, you know, him and I would have conversations, and he would tell me that he'd have to get in his car and go to a park in midday so he could take a nap, because whenever he stayed at home, people would be on his door constantly knocking, so he could never get any rest. He had to leave the property. So he'd go out to the park. He told me sometimes he'd just drive up over here to this park, park the car, and take a snooze just to be able to function, to be able to go on. So, yeah. Anything else anybody would like to say about Ram Dass Prabhu? Looks like most of you probably here didn't ever really have his association. So, just to say that, yes, Ram Dass was a very personable, very wonderful devotee, very dedicated, and most of all, I think that he exemplified of a devotee who had the opportunity, and he took advantage of leaving this planet in Vrindavan. I think that in itself is self-explanatory about the characteristic and the nature of Ram Dass Prabhu. He was so, Krishna conscious, really, that he was determined to leave this planet in Vrindavan, and hopefully we can all have that opportunity and take it. That's the issue. Can you take that opportunity and do that? That is really what it takes. Okay? Jai Ram Dass Prabhu Ki Jai.